All right, so anyway, welcome to Grace Point Wednesday night. Father, I pray tonight for the lesson. I pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, we're going to continue on teaching on faith. And faith is important, especially right now. You know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So, Father, increase our faith. Jesus, your disciples asked you, that he said, increase our faith. And so, Lord, thank you for increasing our faith, Lord, by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, come, be present with us. You said that if two or more were gathered together, you'd be right there with us. So thank you for your presence tonight, Lord, with us as we go through Wednesday night Bible study. So hope you guys are doing good at home. Pam and I are doing well. The only bad thing is Pam's getting better at rummy. She beat me twice today. I don't know the last time she's beaten me like that, but she's won two in a row, so I don't know. This isn't good. She's getting good at this rummy business, but hope you're doing good, and I hope you're mentally well, spiritually well, and physically well. I don't know what I'd do without running, and thank God that I'm a runner because I run every other day, and I really look forward to getting out and doing something outside and running. So it's really healthy. I hope you're doing things healthy, maybe exercising or taking walks or, you know, getting some fresh air and taking care of yourself, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, well, tonight I want to teach on faith. And I want to start off by saying the thing about faith is the whole Christian life is predicated on faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, Habakkuk the prophet says, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. If it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. How do the just live? That's Habakkuk. Well, Paul, three different times in the New Testament, quotes that scripture. And I've taught this before, many of you know. You know, the New Testament is really just a revelatory extrapolation from the Old Testament. It's just taking what was written, prophesied, what was promised, the covenants, everything in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit brings light to it. Jesus, Paul, Apostle John, Peter, they're getting revelation on what this stuff really means. And the centerpiece in all this is Jesus. So this word in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith, Paul seizes on it. In Romans 1:17, he states this, for in it, that is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, get this, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How does a righteous man live, or how does a just man live? Well, he goes from faith to faith. The gospel starts with faith, it increases by faith, and it adds to more faith. It's faith to faith to faith to faith. We just grow in faith. I taught last week, 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says that faith is something that we can grow in. And we know it's true because it's a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then Paul quotes it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. He's preaching the gospel. And as he's preaching about what Jesus did, how we're not under law, and he makes the statement again, the just shall live by faith. And then I'll go ahead and turn to Hebrews. I'll slow down a little bit. That's one thing on these broadcasts, I'm going to try to slow down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. I guess I'll start with verse 36. He says, for you have need of endurance. I've thought about that word endurance a lot here lately. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. after you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. See, all the promises of God are yes and amen, 2 Corinthians 1:20, in Christ, but they don't always come immediately. And by the way, I had a word for Michelle Farrell. Michelle, don't give up. I don't know if you're out there, but don't give up. Don't let go of the promises of God. God is with you, and don't let the devil lie to you. He's with you. I command your body to be strong, to be healed. I command hope to come into you, and I command faith to come in you in Jesus' name. All right, so for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And again, he's quoting from Habakkuk there. So he's telling you, as a Christian, we live from faith to faith. We go from faith to faith. Our faith groweth exceedingly. And if we draw back into unbelief, if we draw back into a former lifestyle, it says God has no pleasure with us. We have to keep increasing in faith. We need to advance in faith. We need to go from faith to faith. So I wanted to set that from the beginning. Faith is not just something that you have or something you just try to exercise. Faith is actually a lifestyle. We live by faith. You know, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread only, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And remember last week, I don't know if anybody remembers, what did we teach on last week out there in video land? You remember? We taught on faith, right? But what did we teach about faith? Remember, we taught that if God required you to have faith and there wasn't a way that you could increase faith, he would be unrighteous. But we know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is predicated on the word of God. I had a couple scriptures to go over because I want to emphasize that. At the very beginning, if we're going to live by faith, then we have to have faith in something, right? We have faith in God, right? But we have faith in God's word. We have faith in the gospel. Turn over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Okay, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, by the way, Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? There's a scripture that says, hath God said it, and will he not perform it? I think in Jeremiah it said, you know, I hasten over my word to perform it. Hath God not said it, and will he not make it good? God is not a man that he could lie, or he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he would repent. So forever, God's word is settled in heaven. Do you know what settles it on earth? What do you think? What settles God's word on earth? He says, your word is settled forever in heaven. Well, you settle it on earth. It's like that scripture, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Well, God speaks it. The word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12 that don't ignore him that speaks from heaven. I think that's in Hebrews 12. Don't ignore him who speaks from heaven, okay? If you ignored those that spoke from earth and you perished, how much more will you perish if you ignore those that speak from heaven? We can't ignore those. God who speaks from heaven. On earth, we have to settle it. God has spoken, and we got to put faith in his word. Okay, in Psalms 138:2. I want to settle something because if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, God has given us his word. We have his written word. There's also the prophetic word, but we have his written word, and we're expected to believe it. in Psalms 138, verse 2, it says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You've magnified your word above your name. And there's no greater name given on earth whereby men must be saved but at the name of Jesus. And yet he says he's magnified his word above his name. So we to have faith, we have to put faith in God's word. His word is settled in heaven. It's true on earth, but we have to settle it in our own hearts, whether we're going to believe the word or God, word or not. So the just will live by faith, and the way to live by faith is to live by the word of God. Now, I don't believe, and it's just some sterile word of God, like you just take these promises and speak them out, you automatically believe. We have to be in a relationship with God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding to us. That's why when you're just born again, they call you a baby. Does a baby have understanding? Not at all. And then you grow up, you become a child in the faith, right? You grow in this thing. I love that scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, or the eyes of your understanding would be opened. So he's praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we do need to have, with the word of God, we do need to cooperate or pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate us in the word. We do need to pray for enlightenment. We need to pray for wisdom and understanding in the word of God. So it's not just a sterile book of the law, some letter. Like we're not, in other words, we're not robots. We have to interact with the word. We spend time with the word. We meditate on it. We taught that last week. We take the promises in, but we also have a relationship with God where we get revelation. And then we have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to let this stuff come alive that we can apply it. You know, I could preach on divine healing all day long, week after week after week. But what was that? Oh, okay. I thought you guys were making fun of me for standing. I could preach on divine healing week after week after week, you know, but at some point, if you don't take it in and receive the word and then act on the word, you know, if you don't release your healing or receive, it's not going to do you any good. Paul said in Hebrews 4, he talked about people that the word or the gospel, he called it the gospel in the Old Testament. He said the good news that they heard did not profit them. I think it's chapter 4, verse 2. The good news did not profit them because they didn't mix the word with faith. They didn't unite their hearts to the word of God. They didn't take it serious. They allowed themselves to be distracted, or they allowed themselves to be persecuted, or they allowed themselves to be pushed off of the word. But if we're going to learn to live by faith and grow in faith, we have, as it says in Hebrews 12, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have to focus our gaze and fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of our faith, right? So we got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We got to fix our eyes on the gospel. We have to fix our eyes on everything that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the gospel is, the death, burial, resurrection, ascending, and sending of the Holy Spirit. We fix our eyes on that. We don't look away. We don't turn our eyes away from the word. We keep our eyes on the word, and we're in relationship. So then because we know the word, we start to interact with the word. And as we obey the word of God, it causes us to grow, not just hearing, not just receiving, but we hear, we receive, and we obey the word of God. And as we come into a relationship with Christ, a relationship with God, where we're interacting daily, man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we interact. And that's why it's a shame when people take certain promises of God or certain aspects of God and they take them off the table, because God is not going to force us to believe any promise. God's not going to make you believe that by His stripes you are healed. He's not going to make you believe that surely He hath borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Or, Exodus 15, I am the Lord that healeth you. He is not going to make anybody believe it. And so when you take it off the table, it's just off the table. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I taught Sunday a little bit, mentioned the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. It's necessary. Many denominations have taken it off the table. Well, God's not going to force you to believe it if you're afraid of it. Many denominations and many Christians are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, well, if you don't believe portions of the Word, they're just off the table. You're not going to profit from what you don't believe. Some people believe that you just get saved. You got your ticket to heaven. You get born again. You kind of struggle through life. And you know, you do the best you can. You die and you go to heaven. And that's all. If that's what they believe, that's what they're going to walk in. Okay? But God has given us the whole counsel of the Word of God and His exceeding great and precious promises that we could grow thereby, that we could take these in on all the Word of God and we could live by it and grow by it. And there's really just powerful things in here. The more time you spend in the Word, the more the Word opens up to you. It's powerful. So, in fact, in Romans 14:23, Paul makes the statement, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Sister Kittle. Whatever you do that's not of faith, it's a sin. I think that's the highest definition of sin. See, our whole life is based on the Word of God. Our whole life is based with the Spirit of God. So as we're walking with God, that's why Paul puts a high premium, you know, on walking at peace. He says, as we pray to God and we commit ourselves to God, we cast all our cares on God. It says He'll guard our heart. He'll protect our heart. So as we're praying and we're interacting with God, making our petitions to God, and we learn to walk in the Spirit, we walk in the peace of God. It's how you walk in faith. You listen to the voice of God. You walk in the Spirit. You walk by faith. It'll actually produce peace in your life. We're just following out what God's told us in His Word. We're following out what we're hearing from God in our prayer life. So it's very important. And as I've been teaching and preaching, I just want to remind you, in Galatians 5:6, okay, now, this faith that we're walking in, it's something that when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in faith. It all works through love. Galatians 5:6. So we're anchored in the Word of God. We're anchored in the Spirit of God. And by being anchored in the Spirit of God, we're going to walk in love. Whenever we're walking in love, the Word of God says faith actually works by or expresses itself by love. So we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in love, and we're expressing that through our faith. Faith works by love, okay? I just want to remind you of that. All right, so I said all that because I want to go back. Let's go back to Psalms 91. So we're spending time in the Word. We're finding out what God says. We're believing the gospel, and there's a lot to the gospel. We're believing that these exceeding great and precious promises are ours, and they are, through Christ Jesus. Every promise in here, Jesus fulfilled the book. The volume of the book was written about Him. He fulfilled it. He inherited every promise. He inherited total salvation. He inherited, like, it's a will, and He inherited it. And we are in Him, and because we're in Him, if you study the book of Galatians, you'll find because we are in Him, we are heirs of God. We're inheritors of the promises of God. We're heirs of God. Man, if we could get a revelation, and my revelation and understanding of this is increasing all the time, if we could just get a revelation that right now we are sons of God. Think about that. You could say a daughter of God. Paul doesn't use that language, you know, because in the kingdom of God, there isn't male or female. Why? Because we're all one in Christ. That's a spiritual thing. We've all been baptized into Christ. There ain't male or female there. There ain't Greek or Jew. There's no distinction. We're all one. Why? Because we all have the same spirit. Brother Brad, what spirit is that? That's the spirit of Christ. Christ, I always come back to this, Christ is in you. That's why we walk by the faith of the Son of God, because Christ is in you. And this revelation or understanding of being a son of God, I just think, wow, where does this thing end? That's why in Ephesians 4, Paul says, we grow up into him in all aspects. Yeah. Yeah. We grow up into him in all aspects. I didn't make it up. I would never make something up like that, Pam. Why would, that's just too good to be true, right? We're going to grow up and be like Christ in all aspects. That's amazing. So because we're in Christ, we've been baptized into Christ, we're heirs of the promise. We have an inheritance. We're already raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principality and power, might and dominion. We're already raised up with him, all right? Now, I know there are certain aspects or certain promises that will come in the future, like a new body, you know, a new heaven and new earth, all these things. But right now, we're already in union with Christ. We're already able to walk in the Spirit and receive what he has paid for us. Now, so having said that, let's go back to Psalms 91. Pam, what time is it? What time does your clock say?
At
7:25. Okay. We're doing good then. All right. Psalms 91. This is what we've been, what I've asked the church to speak out loud out of your mouth. You know, meditate on it. Speak it out loud. Declare it over you. I believe it's a prophetic psalm for right now, but it's the word of God no matter what, right? It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, the reason I wanted to bring that up again, and you could go through, and Pam and I pretty much every day, at least once, and most of the time twice a day, we're speaking this out. The psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. I'm not trusting CNN or Fox. I'm not trusting the mayor or the governor. Much as I love our president, my trust is not in him. My trust is in God. And I will say of the Lord, he, and you know what? I'm saying it right now. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He's going to get me safely to where I need to be. I'm going to get where God says go. I am in the center and circumference of God's will for my life. And I'm going to get where God says go. If God's told me to do something and he's told me what's going to happen when I do it, it's going to be just like God told me. So I'm going to say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, this is very important because last week I talked about in Amos 3:3 where it says two people cannot walk together unless they agree. You absolutely have to agree with God. You have to agree with what God's saying. In Matthew 16, Jesus came to Peter and he said, who do men say that I am? And well, some people say you're Elijah and some people say you're one of the prophets and some people say this and some people said he was a sorcerer. They did. Some people said he was from Beelzebub. Think about this. Now, stop for a second. I've been teaching. That's why I've got to slow down sometimes. Some people said that Jesus was from the devil. Think about it. Some people said he was a sorcerer. Some people said he was one of the prophets. They had all these opinions. Now, here's what's really important. Jesus zeroed in on Peter, and he said, and this is the question that you have to ask yourself. He said, okay, Peter, who do you say I am? And that's what I'm asking you, Grace Point, all two of you out there. Oh, there's 12. Okay, sorry. It goes up and down. Who do you say that I am? Are you saying you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, in you I will trust? No plague will come nigh my dwelling. What are you saying about God? So Peter says, hey, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. So what I was talking about earlier. See, the reason that Peter was able to receive the mysteries of God, remember in Mark 4 where he said, you're blessed because you get to understand the kingdom, you get to understand the mysteries of God. The reason that Peter got this revelation is because he was following Jesus. He said, people on the outside, I said, I teach everything in parables, but you guys are following me. I'm going to explain these things to you. And that's what I'm saying about us. As we interact with the Word, as we disciple, think about this. As you disciple, as we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit reveals the covenant to us. Bible says God reveals the covenant to those that fear Him. He's going to unveil His covenant. Who are those that fear the Lord? Those that heed His voice, do what He says. I'm not talking about law, I'm talking about faith. Hear God, you do what He says, He's going to unveil the covenant to you. So He says, you're blessed, Peter, because God revealed it to you. There was a spirit of wisdom and revelation granted unto Peter. And He said, I'm going to build the church on that rock of that confession that I'm the Christ, and that this knowledge that I'm the Christ comes by revelation. That's the rock of revelation. Well, God wants to reveal His word to us too. God wants to unveil this thing to us too. But notice His question, Jesus' question was, who do you say I am? And church, that's what I'm going to ask you. Who, that was me squeaking on the floor. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, I believe He's my Savior. I'm going to die and go to heaven. Okay, well, that's undoubtedly true. Is that all you believe about Jesus? There's a lot to believe in the Word of God. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about putting this Word of God and the promises of God into effect. I'm talking about putting them down in your heart and believing them and then saying out with your mouth who you believe Jesus is. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now who I believe Jesus is. Jesus is my Savior. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and right now He is seated at the right hand of power, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And I believe that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, and I have received the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I believe Jesus is with me now until the end of the age. I believe that I'm a follower of Jesus, and He's teaching me His word. I believe that Jesus' peace is in my heart, that I have peace with God because of what Jesus did. I believe that Jesus that provides for me, that He's my Jehovah Jireh, that He's going to provide for me. No matter what, God is my provider. He, through Jesus Christ, God is going to provide for me. I believe He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals me from every disease. That's who I say He is, and I'm going to keep saying that's who He is. This is what the Bible says. It was so funny, that guy Mike Lindell came on, the pillow guy, came on TV and said he read his Bible, believed in God. Man, the media just, you know, I didn't watch it all, but I heard they just had fits, you know, about he believes in the Bible and the Word of God, you know. What was funny, I heard these guys on YouTube, they were Fox people, and they were trying to defend him, and they just sounded ridiculous. Well, you know, addicts need the Bible. You know how people are that, like the only people that need the Bible are addicts. They told on themselves their limited knowledge of what the Bible is for. They made it sound like only addicts need the Bible. No. Every man and every woman born needs the good news of the gospel, because we're born sinners apart from God. Here I'm preaching instead of teaching. We're born sinners apart from God. And Jesus Christ came from heaven and died on Calvary's tree and paid for our sins. That's the greatest promise, isn't it? He died for it. If you don't believe anything else, you better believe that. He died for your sins and my sins. I have peace with God. I have everlasting life, and I'm going to be with God forever. You newscasters on Fox or CNN, you better believe it, or you're going to spend eternity in hell away from God. When me and Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, are going to be in heaven with Jesus. All right. So the question is, who do you say that Jesus is? Okay, last verse for tonight, and I'll probably pick up here next week, next time I teach on this. I want to talk about how this faith thing works, okay? And I'll probably just read the scripture, tap on it, and then jump out, and then we'll end it for tonight. And I gave you a lot to think about. You can go play this again, take down notes, write down what the Holy Spirit is speaking out to you on it, take it into your heart. You can take notes because you can play it back again. But if you flip over to Mark 11, let's read verse 23 and 24 together. I'll say a few things, and we'll close up for tonight. Any questions or anything, Pam, out there? Okay, hold that question. Any prayer requests? Okay, if there's any question, now's your time to put them on YouTube or Facebook. I'll do my best to answer. Okay, so Jesus answered and said to them, verse 22, have faith in God. I love that. You see, Jesus spoke and he cursed the fig tree. Think about this. He's the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke and he cursed the fig tree, and Peter marveled, like when they came back the next day, like that fig tree was shriveled. And they're like, hey, look, that fig tree that you cursed, it's shriveled. What? How did the, Jesus, you're amazing. You speak with authority. How does this happen? And Jesus says, have faith in God. For truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, whoever says, he's probably points around to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in her heart, but she believes that those things which she says will come to pass, she will have whatever she says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's the word of God. I don't care how many preachers preach against it, say it's not true. If you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that isn't the only place, Matthew 21, 21, John 15, it's all over the Word of God. Even in 1 John chapter 3 talks about it. 1 John chapter 5 talks about it. If you say, and notice he said, not me, if you say with your mouth and you don't doubt, what you say will happen. What you say. Well, I don't think we've come very far along that line in saying things. Let's go to verse 24. Maybe that's a little easier. Therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe what you ask for, that you receive it and you shall have them. That's a pretty wide open. I know it has to be in the will of God. Just take one of the promises. Do we believe that the promises are the will of God? Well, just take one of those and ask God for what he's promised. Believe you receive it. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have it. Now, that's a mighty high standard. And I know that's a big, you know, big promise there. And I don't know that any man's ever walked in the fullness of it. Some men and women do walk in a greater measure of faith because they step out. They believe it. They step out and they practice it. You ought to read the life of George Mueller, how he believed. Got provision, food for orphans. Prayed direct prayer. It's amazing. Or Reese Howells. Read his biography. Or Smith Wigglesworth. Or John Lake. There are great men of God that have given us examples that God means what he says. And if we can get in this realm and we can walk in this realm, okay, we can live in this realm of answered prayer. But what I want to key on tonight, I hope I'm encouraging you, what I want to key on tonight is it's very important what you say. God wants to know who you say that he is. God wants to know what you believe. God wants to know whose report you believe. And when you decide and make up your mind and we stop halting between two opinions, the news laughed at Mike Lindell. They laughed at him and mocked him and gave him a hard time. I told you that last week. Even the Fox reporters, they tried to defend him and they made him sound like God only talks to alcoholics or something. It's crazy. Well, the world's going to laugh at you. We got to make up our mind. We're not going to halt between two opinions. We're not going to jump back and forth. I got to make up my mind too. I'm just like you. I got to press into this thing just like you do. Whose report do I believe? Who do I think Jesus is? And then we say it. Now, it doesn't matter if you say it, if you don't believe it, because he says, when you say it and don't doubt in your heart. Well, Brother Brad, I don't have any faith. Well, I taught last week on how you get faith. So go back and listen to last week's message. Right there, God shows you. Read Psalms 1. Go back in and listen to last week's message. I taught you how to get faith. Amen? So there you have it, folks. So we need to speak out of our mouth what we are believing in our heart. And we need to believe and put in our heart what God says. All right, that's it for tonight.